Matthew 24 and verse 43. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, shall appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about being ready for his coming. Being ready for his coming, for Jesus' coming. He has made it very plain in his word that he is coming. Amen. He has promised the church that he is coming again. Amen. There's never been a promise that Jesus hasn't kept. Amen. He's kept every one of them. Amen. And there are still promises yet to be fulfilled that he will fulfill. Amen. He fulfilled the others. He's going to fulfill the rest. Yeah. When we look here in chapter 23 and chapter 24, you find a lot of talk about our Lord's coming, the signs of his coming, miracles of his coming. Different things that may be said about his coming that are not right. He's speaking mostly, it seems like, to the people that he came for. He came to his own, the Jewish people. But our Lord, be it known, is coming back to reveal himself to the world. Now, you and I as God's people, there's one thing that we need to understand. And it helps us to understand this. That the rapture of the church, we put that a lot of times in and we say, look at the signs around us. The rapture has got to be soon at hand. And there's a lot of truth in that. But really, the signs that our Lord gives, it is concerning his second advent and not the rapture. You see, the rapture is a sign in itself that the Lord's second coming is near. The catching away, the snatching away of the church, right, like a thief in the night, people disappearing, that's a sign of the second coming of our Lord. Right. Amen. And there's a difference when he comes for us in the rapture. He's coming in the clouds. We're going to meet him in the air. When he comes at his second coming, we're coming back with him. And he's coming to the earth. Not just the air, but to the Mount of Olives. He's coming to set up his kingdom as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so when you read this here,
we see some signs that was fulfilled shortly after Jesus left. Some signs were fulfilled when he resurrected. Many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of their graves after his resurrection. That was a great sign. When the disciples asked our Lord to look at all the stones upon the building of the temple, some of those stones were as big as this church, as deep, and maybe even as high as the walls. But they were all torn down, pulled aside, pulled down, pulled away. And they say that where the temple was, the dirt where the foundation stone, they plowed that all up. Why? Because the Roman Empire was absolutely bent on the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And they did exactly what our Lord said they would do. He said that there wouldn't be one stone left upon another. They were stacked just like this, one upon another, as they built the walls. And they were all torn down. Everyone, get that picture. That was 70 A.D. That was after the crucifixion, some 40 years after the crucifixion of our Lord and resurrection of our Lord. But then he said there was more. Our Lord talked about to the Jews about the 70 weeks of Daniel are determined. And there's still that 70th week that is not been fulfilled. You see, in prophecy, you can have a day that means one day or a length of time. You can have a week that means 7 days, or it could mean 7 years. And so the prophecy of the 70 weeks was 70 years of weeks. Listen, and that last 7 year period has not taken place. It's not happened. And what is it waiting on? That is the day when our Lord will come. And that's the day that he will deal with the Jews. That's the 7 year tribulation period. That's going to come after the rapture of the church. There are signs that are going to happen before that tribulation enters in. Our Lord says so. He says that when you shall see all these things, know that it's near. What's near? His coming, his second advent. Know that it's near when you see these things. But the church is like Enoch, the picture of Enoch in the Old Testament, that he was translated out before Noah entered into the ark and went through that flood, a type of the tribulation period. But here in chapter 24, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now listen, our Lord was crucified and it didn't happen. Our Lord was resurrected and it didn't happen. Our Lord ascended to heaven and it didn't happen. But somewhere toward the end of the early church, when the Apostle Paul was ending maybe some of his books and the writings, the scripture would be fulfilled. Jerusalem was overrun by Rome. And not one stone, just like Jesus said, was not left upon another. Now there are those that claim all of the signs and the tribulation and all that happened from the time Jesus died up until this time of 70 A.D. All that destruction and everything that's... I'm going to tell you something. They've not seen days like the days of the tribulation period. Jesus himself said, there's never been days like the days of the tribulation period. He called it the end of the world, the end of the age. Are you listening to me? The end of what we know as the day of grace, the day of the Gentile. It has to be that big. Listen, because you and I are still having an opportunity to be saved by God's grace. If it was over with, there wouldn't be nobody getting saved. I wouldn't have got saved. Are you listening to me? He would have done his work and been gone, and all of that would have happened, would have been a spiritual thing that only happened around the time of our Lord. But no. Listen, he's not just any man. He's the God man. And he didn't just come. Listen, he came for his own. But he said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He saved the early church, called the Apostle Paul, gave us the gospel of his grace. All of that has been set in motion. All of that has been going on for 2 days or 2,000 years. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The end of the world. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I do not believe in trying to make the Bible say anything other than what it says. It says the end of the world. That's what the Bible means, the end of the world. I know it could mean end of age, but it says end of the world. To me, that means the end of the ages. Are you listening to me? The end of the world. Take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. I've preached this here before. Why? Because there are many, many deceivers are gone out into the world. Many deceivers are gone out into the world. We have more deception in the day and the hour that we're living in than there ever has been. And you know why? Because people are sin-hardened more than they've ever been. Sin-hardened. Nothing seems so bad anymore. Are you listening to me? Used to on the news, they wouldn't even hardly talk about somebody getting murdered. They sure wouldn't show pictures when I was a boy. Now, I mean, it's everywhere. They'll show it flat. Why? They want people to see it. They want children to see it. They want them to be numbed to violence and to sin. Amen? I mean, listen. I'm from a generation that if you heard somebody was a homosexual, that was one of the most detestable things that could ever be. Now they're everywhere. Now being a homosexual, according to the world, is just like being black, white, or Hispanic. That's not a race. If that's not a race, amen, that's a perversion is what that is. And our world is being numbed to that. Jesus talked about the signs of the end of the world. He gave us some signs that should definitely trouble us. But the world has made it to where people are not troubled by trouble. Have you ever thought of that? We see trouble all around us. Yet we're not disturbed the way we one time were. The generation that's beneath us, they sure aren't. Why? They've grown up in it. It's just like second nature to them. They could sit down next to it and eat and it not bother them. It seems like. Are you listening to me? But to us, it used to disturb us. We couldn't stop looking at it with our mouths wide open. Could not believe some of the things that were happening in the world. Our parents would say, don't look at that. Don't look at that. Don't stare at that. Why? They didn't want that stuff getting in our eyes and getting in our mind. They tried to raise us, even if you was a sinner, to have some sort of morality. A sinner used to at least had a conscience. You know what that meant? Is that all this wasn't so seared up here. Right. Now it's been seared front, sideways, top, back. Just seared to death. Why? Because everything in the world that Satan has had to offer, he's took one step at a time to baby feed everybody, one little bit at a time, and one spoonful at a time. You can look back, look back, look back. Listen, they call people that want God in this country extreme right now. They call people that want to put an end to abortion extreme right. That's going backward, they say. They call people that want to put prayer and the Bible back in school and keep the commandments up. Oh, that's extreme right. That's extreme right. To bring God back to this nation, there's a big part of this nation that thinks that is way off to the right. No, that was normal. That was normal when I was a kid. That was just normal. I mean, listen, we ought to look and see around us just to see how the world has changed in the last 30, 40 years. Ought to tell us that the Lord's coming soon. The thought that kept coming to my mind about when he was talking about these servants and not knowing the hour that their Lord comes. And all through the Bible, I mean, it talked about that there were the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and 5 foolish, or 10 wise and 10 foolish, and they weren't prepared. They weren't prepared. They ignored the fact that the voice was made, behold, the bridegroom coming. They knew that could happen at any moment. Some of them that knew and prepared, they had oil in their lamps. They had oil in their lamps. Why? They knew they wouldn't have time to go get it. They stayed prepared. But the other ones thought, when it comes, then we'll get prepared. They didn't have time. You know what happened to them? They came up to the door and the door was shut. And they began to knock and say, open unto us. And they said, the bridegroom's come. Go ye out to meet him. That's what they said. The ones that were ready, the Bible said, went in and the door was shut. The others went to buy oil to get it put in there, but it was too late. Too late. They stood without and knocked, but it was too late. Why? The bridegroom had already come. He said he would come in an hour and a day when they looked not for him. Look not for him. If you put some of our generation, if you could just skip them to this day, a lot of them would probably have a heart attack just looking around, seeing how wicked things are. They would be just so distraught And so they'd know, surely the Lord's coming. Surely the Lord's coming. Now, I mean, it's worse now than it's ever been. It is worse now than it ever has been. And it's getting worse. Did you know that was a sign? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That's a sign. Our Lord gave many signs. He told them about nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. We read that. That's the signs we're looking for. But what about all of the people that's not looking, people that's not even, they don't want to even talk about God? You think they're looking for Him? No, they look not for Him. People don't even want to hear the name of Jesus. They ain't got the foggiest idea what it means to be born again. They think you and I are a bunch of religious fanatics. They just soon hit us in the face as to listen to us. Did you know that? Used to, the world had some kind of respect for the church and for God's people. Now they'd just as soon come and beat every one of us with baseball bats as to look us in the face. They don't care. They don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to hear about God. You know why? Because the world has smeared His name, tried to make Him out like He's just any other man who sinned and made mistakes. I promise you, He never sinned. Jesus never sinned. There was no way He could sin. He was God's darling Son. He was Emmanuel, God in the flesh. He's the best thing that ever happened to this world. The best thing that could ever happen to you. Best thing that ever happened to all of humanity. He loved us when nobody else loved us. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. The world don't love you. They don't care about you. They care about what you can do for them. And if you can't do nothing for them, they could care less for you. He loves you. He gave you your soul. He gave you an eternal soul. And He wants you to live with Him. Has any of them said, come live with me forever? No, they can't offer that. They can't offer that. Has any one of them said that they could take your heartache away? Take your sin away and give you perfect peace and joy? No, because there's nobody, none of them can. People's out here, listen, they're popping pills left and right trying to find peace and joy and can't find it. You can't find it. You can drink yourself to death. You ain't going to find it. I don't care where are you looking? What you doing in this world? You're not going to find what Christ offers nowhere but at the foot of the cross. Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. Jesus wants to make sure that everybody knows who He is. Then He's coming the second time. He could come right now, whether you get saved or not. Whether there's unsaved people around the world or not, not going to hinder Him from coming for the church. That's one of the signs. He's going to come as a thief in the night. Two shall be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. Are you listening to me? I mean, just at the morning or at evening or at midnight. That's what he said at the cock crowing, or at evening, or at midnight. Why? Somewhere in the world, it's going to be one of them times. Jesus is going to come. If he come right now, it's morning for us, but it's night on the other side of the world. The middle of the night. Maybe when morning comes for them and you're asleep tonight, mom and dad gets gone. Or husband or wife gets gone, or grandma or grandpa gone. And you wake up, amen, and the house ain't the same anymore. That loved one that was saved, they're gone. That's going to happen. That's going to be real. That's going to be real. Jesus said, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." You see, they'll say, "Lo, he's here," or "Lo, he's there." He said, "Believe it not." Because many, many after the rapture are going to say that they're Jesus. Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. And the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven. And the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. You think things are peculiar right now? You wait till the end of the tribulation period. When God turns the heavens and the earth upside down, as to say, "Here comes my son and his saints." Because we'll be with him. We'll be with him then. He told those Israelites, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree." Now I do know, I think it was maybe over in Mark or Luke, that he said, "and all tree." I've always pictured that this was a sign of Israel, a parable of the fig tree, because they've always been known in prophecy as the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, it's a young tree. To put two and two together, young nation. They've only been a nation since 1948 again. They were dispersed for 2,000 years. No people has ever gone and just been dissipated through the earth. No land, no country. And 2,000 years later, come back together. Except the Israelite. That's a sign. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer's nigh. Look, we're in the fall right now. Leaves are falling. What's that mean? It means it's fall. It means winter time's coming on. After the winter, things start warming back up. You start seeing these little bitty buds on the tree. What do you? Leaves are fixing to come out. You see it. That's what he said. When you see these, they put forth leaves, you know that summer's nigh. So likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near. Even at the door. They're not coming to the door, Brother Mike. It is at the door. That was the word of our Lord. Know that it's near. This is the words of Christ Himself to them. When you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. That's the second coming of Christ, is at the door. How much sooner the rapture then? If he's at the door, the rapture is so ridiculously close we can't even imagine. And for what? Only the reason that God in heaven knows is the day of grace still open. But as the Bible said, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. After all them years of waiting, 4,000 years to be exact, He was born in Bethlehem. And He lived a sinless life. And He went about doing good. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed thousands with very little. He did so many miracles that John said, I suppose if everything He did was written, the world wouldn't be able to contain the books. That was our Lord. Died for the sins of the world on the cross. And was raised again the third day. Ascended to heaven according to many witnesses. And that story has not yet to shut down. It's only gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. Listen, there's no sense in me telling you it will be today, but I can say it could be. Because nobody knows the day. But the Lord knows the day. And when the fullness of time is come, Jesus will come like a thief in the night. He'll come to gather His church. And the days of the tribulation will start. The days that Jesus talked to them about. The signs in heaven. The abomination of desolation. Amen. Them that's, in Judea will be fleeing into the mountains. Them that are on the housetops. Not to come down and take anything out of the house. Don't go, if you're in the field, don't go back into the house. You flee. Why? Because of the terror of the tribulation period and the Antichrist that's going to come upon this earth. Then shall be great tribulation. Great tribulation. Jesus said, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. That's what our Lord said. He said, there's never, ever going to be days that man will face like the days of the tribulation period. Worse than the Holocaust. Worse than World War II, World War I, the Vietnam War, the Korean War, all wars put together. You think it's wicked now when the men are walking around seeking death and death's fleeing from them? Think about that. Men trying to take their lives, and their life won't leave them. Why? They're here to suffer through the tribulation period. And then Christ is going to come again, and we're coming with Him. That day is going to happen. Are you ready? Are you ready? We've had some wonderful preaching this week. God in heaven has spoke and moved in such a wonderful way. Are you ready? Are you ready? Did you get anything from God? Are you ready? Are you saved? Does anything spiritual help you at all?
Yes.
Are you born again? Are you saved? If Jesus comes right now for the church, are you going with us?
Amen.
I want you to stand.